Welcome to Sexy Mom Abundant Life with best-selling author and coach Kathy Williams, a show to help you tap into the support of the universe and access the abundance that's available in every area of your life. Listen in for conversations and tools to create more ease, joy, and possibility with family, relationships, business, and living. Kathy's joyful perspective will help you tap into your own wisdom and create a life of presence and abundance your way. Listen live on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or anytime on iTunes or at iHome FM.
Welcome to Sexy Mom Abundant Life, everyone. This is your host, Kathy Williams, and I'm so grateful for you for being here, for listening, and super excited about the guests today, who are Gay Hendricks and Carol Klein, both such inspiring, wonderful, all-around people and amazing authors with wisdom that is just so useful for implementing into your life. Gay and Carol have both been on the New York Times bestseller list many times, and many of you know their work, even if you don't know their names, from Chicken Soup to the Soul, which Carol has been instrumental in and a writer in, to The Big Leap, which I know is one of many listeners' favorite books by Gay, and Conscious Loving and The Love for No Reason. So many powerful books to help you be more in touch with yourself and thus create a life of more wisdom and alignment. So welcome to the show. I'm so grateful to have you here. And we're going to talk about the newest book authored by Gay and Carol, which is Conscious Luck. Thanks for being here.
Glad to be with you. Always happy to spend time with a sexy mom.
You know, it's so funny because that's really not my identity. Like, that's not what I ever thought of myself as. And so in part it was almost a joke, but in part it was something to step into as, you know, so thanks for that acknowledgement.
Thanks for having us.
So grateful. We had a chat a couple of months ago, and as I was reflecting on today's show and reading your book, Conscious Luck, which is amazing, I was thinking about how my life has changed since picking up the book. And that was probably, it's November now, that was probably late May, early June. And just reflecting on some of the amazing synchronicities and things that have come together during that time. And, you know, the impact that this book has made. So I'm really grateful because I see it not only in relationships, from a new virtual assistant who just happened to, I just knew, oh, this person is going to be the person, to a new love relationship. I mean, all these things have sort of danced into my life with less effort. So in talking about luck, I would love to ask you, how would you explain luck to a five-year-old? What is luck?
Oh, what a great question. Luck is when good things happen seemingly for no reason at all. Just good things come out of the air and support you and help you, and you don't really have to do anything except kind of get lined up right, and then good things start happening to you.
I love that. What a great explanation. I mean, that's going to be so fun with my kids, too. So, so then I guess my next question is, how do you get lined up right?
Well, that's so interesting because Gay's definition of luck is, I would say, like the big picture, like, oh my gosh, these wonderful things happen to us, right? And then, but the main thing that people haven't gotten before is that why our, it happens without our participation. And getting lined up for that luck has to do with how you think, how you act, who you hang out with, and your whole attitude about luck. So I would tell my kids, to answer your second question, that if they want to be lucky, they have to start thinking of themselves as one of the lucky people in the world. Because what happens then is you start seeing yourself as lucky. You start seeing the lucky things that happen to you, and you pay more attention, and they happen more. It's like a snowball rolling down a hill. It gets to be a big, big ball.
That's so cool. So as I think about this, the snowball, you know, I know of people who say, well, yeah, I'm lucky when it comes to parking spots, or I'm really good. I have a friend who lives on the Big Island of Hawaii, and she says, I can always find shells. No matter what, I can find shells. But they sort of, I've heard people compartmentalize, like, well, I'm lucky, but it only occurs here. Right? Oh, yeah, I can find any parking spot I want. And so I'm wondering, I know in the last conversation we had in June, we made a commitment to being lucky. How you broaden that, if you have this idea, I'm lucky in one area, how do you broaden that into more areas of your life?
Well, that's a great question. Well, that's actually what happened to me because I first started noticing that I was lucky in certain areas, but that there were other areas, like in relationships, where I wasn't particularly lucky. In fact, I seemed to be cursed. And so I always say that my early relationships all had the trajectory of the Titanic. They would start with great fanfare and then hit an iceberg after 6 months or so. And it took me about 13 or 14 of those relationships to realize that I was actually the iceberg that I kept hitting. But what you have to do is, if you are lucky in one area, is the first step is always willingness. So if you want to be lucky in any area, the first move is to actually get willing to be lucky in that area. And so one thing I would say, let's say you're lucky in love but not in money. One thing to say is just start an affirmation in yourself. I'm just as lucky in love as I am with money, or the other way around. Or I'm lucky in money and love, if you don't feel lucky in either one of those. Just get a positive idea started. Just one little tiny positive idea starts a chain reaction. And I always say it starts with the power of a single thought. You just hatch a new thought that's, I'm willing to be lucky in love, or I'm willing to be lucky in money. And it begins to then catch on because it's such a good idea that the rest of your brain wants to join the party too.
Yeah, I suppose then you can also sort of collect evidence where, oh, well, in this space, in this place, at this time, I was lucky in love. Maybe that can also, expand into my future in other ways.
Yeah, like if you can find seashells on the Big Island, as a matter of fact, you can also find shells on top of the Himalayas because they used to be underwater a long time ago. And so just like that, you can find the same kind of luck in other areas.
So that brings me to a question. You know, I had a client, he's a really funny guy. And one of the things he said is, Kathy, I feel like the universe is not bringing me my stuff, the stuff I want, because it's too busy with people like you. They're giving you what you want. I said, it doesn't work that way. What would you say to someone who has that idea?
Well, I would say that it's just like being jealous of your neighbor's car. Instead of wasting your thoughts and energy on being jealous, just go out and get the damn car.
I want to say that Gay told me something that has stuck with me about there being 3,000 sons born every minute. That this 32, is an ever. How many?
32,000 sons.
It was this really mind-blowing number, so mind-blowing that I've forgotten it, so thank you. And what it meant to me was that this is an ever-expanding universe, that there's enough for everybody. It's not a zero-sum equation. At every second, we're adding this unbelievably unfathomable amount of stuff in the world. So there's enough, plenty enough for you to have everything you want and him to have everything he wants. And he's just... he's looking through a tiny crack in the fence and not seeing the big picture.
Yeah, I said, you're not that special.
I'm just trying to explain. There's a place out in the universe, astronomers tell us, where 30 suns are being spewed out every second.
Wow.
So by the end of the day, imagine how many thousands of new suns there are if 30 of them are coming out per second. And so... If the universe is that abundant in one place, it can be just as abundant in every place. I mean, look, the fact that we are here is miracle enough. You know, just celebrate that miracle and then watch what starts to happen as you begin to celebrate the miracle of that you're already here.
What a visual. That's amazing. And
awesome.
And yeah.
I just want to say something that a friend taught me, which I really love, which is, when we see somebody else having what we want, we can draw that to us by saying, that's for me, and not being jealous, not, because it pushes away from you that negative energy of, you know, why don't I have it, and, you know, self-pity and anger or any kind of, you know, begrudging other people will keep what you want away for us. So whenever I see someone who has something I want, I go, that's for me. And I learned that from a friend, and I really have used it to my advantage in my life.
I love that.
When I was in Tibet many years ago, I had a bicycle trip across Tibet many years ago back in the 80s and spent a lot of time around Tibetans and visited a lot of their old monasteries. And one of the concepts they teach about jealousy is what they call friendly cannibalism. They say if you see something you like in another person, just go and kind of like take it on, take it in, and just in a friendly way, just cannibalize it and own it for yourself. And it doesn't do any harm to the other person because it's friendly. Because anybody that I think has money or fame or well-being or whatever it is other people covet, I'm sure it's fine with them for other people to come along and be inspired by that. You know, I think that's the way to hold it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. I think that's a very memorable term, friendly cannibalism.
Yeah.
We can remember that. Yeah. I have a friend and student who said to me in a class she was taking, she was like, I'll have that my way. I'll have it in a way that works better for me. And I thought, oh, I'm going to use that. Thanks. Yeah. So so many great ideas here. I'm curious about the idea of conscious luck. Luck is something that people often think is slightly haphazard. It either happens or it doesn't. There's, you know. And what inspired you to write about conscious luck? And then how did you kind of assess out, this is part two, assess out, like, what are the elements that create that?
Yes, it all stems, in my case anyway, the first idea of this nature that came into my head was actually when I was 14 years old, and I saw this other kid that was very lucky. He'd won a wristwatch at a drawing I was at. And I asked him and the thing was, he had told me beforehand, before they had the drawing, he said, look, I'm going to win one of these prizes. And then they had the drawing, and he won the top prize. And I asked him afterwards, how did you do that? And he said, well, I just decided one day I was going to be one of the lucky ones. And that was the first time I thought, wow, it's that easy, you know. And it was long before I knew anything about Louise Hay or changing your thoughts or, you know, anything like that. And this was, I think, in 1959 or so when that first idea I heard. And I've lost touch with that kid. I wish I could find him today and remember him and send him a copy of the book because it really inspired me. And I watched him on throughout high school. He would always win little things. And so I decided to be one of those people myself. And sure enough, I started getting a lot luckier. And I think part of it, too, is just any time you can change your mind from a negative belief about yourself or a negative belief about the world, you're doing a good thing. You know, that any time you can let go of the idea that I'm unlucky or I don't deserve love or any of the negative beliefs that human beings labor under, that's a good thing. It's like removing a stone that you've been carrying around and saying, oh, okay, I don't have to have that weight anymore.
So, yeah, I remember reading that and in one of your books, or one of your earlier books, and thinking about how profound that is to decide that, oh, okay, he decided he's going to be one of the lucky ones, so I will too. And so now you have this book that you've birthed into the world, and it's sort of like there's a Facebook group for sharing lucky experiences, and again, that idea you mentioned earlier about inspiring others with your own luck, your own success. And so, I mean, it's like a little, what would you say, a dandelion, all the seeds going in different directions, growing. And so you wrote The Big Leap about people putting a cap on a ceiling on what they can receive or achieve. And I'm curious about how that might relate to luck, because I have a really similar experience as a child of going to a birthday party and winning just about everything, right? Count the jelly beans in the jar, won that. Some prize, something to win a stuffed animal, won that. I won like three or four things and other people pretty much didn't win. And I remember this, no deliberate decision, but that it was almost like at that point it stopped, right? I mean, I can't say that unequivocally for my life, but the winning sort of diminished. Yeah.
Well, in The Big Leap, I talk about two things, really. One is the upper limit problem, which you're talking about, how we put a cap on our ability to open up to our full potential. And The Big Leap is also about owning your genius, finding out what your true genius is and living from that place. To get to that genius zone, you have to move through a lot of upper limit problems. And at a certain point, it sounds like you're saying you hit an upper limit. And then the good stuff seemed to stop happening. Well, usually that's based on one of a few fears. And one of the fears is the fear of outshining other people, the fear of really being a star and owning that amount of attention for yourself. And it sounds very much like that might be one that applies to you. And so just take a moment right now and acknowledge that fear. Just say hello to it. Hello, old fear. Just kind of feel your way into it and wonder your way into it. So first, make friends with it. And, you know, we always say here that fear is excitement without the breath. If you forget to breathe, it turns into fear. But if you can open up and kind of breathe with it and air it out, it becomes excitement. And so what would the most exciting thing you would be doing if you fully owned your true genius and weren't operating out of an upper limit problem? What's your full stardom look like for you?
I like to be on stage. I always have.
Be on stage?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just take a moment and own that fully. Yeah, that's me.
Oh, gosh. I have to breathe through it again. You know, because I sense another memory of me getting the roles. I was a ballerina. I became a professional And as a child, I remember standing in an elevator. I was probably a teenager at that point, and saying to my mom, I'd rather have the friends than the roles. Mm. You know, because people would get upset, and so they'd, yeah.
Well, that's the fear of outshining. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right out of the textbook there, young lady. So here's how to move through that. Take a moment and right now visualize and feel what would be the biggest, best stage you'd enjoy being on. Tell us what you come up with.
When we come back from the break, I will tell you what I came up with. And everyone else,
by the bell.
Tap into what you fear, breathe through it, and see what you come up with. Thanks so much. We'll be back in just a moment.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going OM? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Sexy Mom Abundant Life. I'm so grateful you're here. As a listener, you can pop over to meetkathywilliams.com and get 20% off any item in the shop, including videos, energy pulls, even private sessions, by entering the code SMRadio. Also at meetkathywilliams.com, you can download a free Create Your Life exercise and join me for online classes and Hawaii retreats. And if you're stuck, helping you get unstuck is my specialty. I'd love to work with you one-on-one.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sexy Mom Abundant Life, everyone. This is Kathy Williams, and today's conversation is about luck, synchronicity, breathing through fear, and getting rid of your limit to receiving and having more luck. And that's what we're on right now. I'm having a chat with Gay Hendricks and Carol Klein, and they have recently released Conscious Luck, and the Conscious Luck workbook is coming up as well, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. So Gay just had me breeze through some fear in regard to outshining other people. And then you asked me to visualize with being on a stage, because that's something that lights me up. Okay, so if you just popped into the show, and you know, it doesn't have to light you up to be on stage. So I just felt like I was on a stage in front of a big audience, and just like really connected. And that is something I've had in the past. So but this was a little different because I wasn't dancing, I was speaking.
Mm. Well, yes, so you've had the experience of actually being on stage as a dancer and having that kind of quality of attention focused on you. So take a moment and just ask yourself, would I be willing to have that quality of attention on me as I move through all of my life?
All right, I think that requires some more breath. Would I be willing to have that quality of attention as I move through my life? Yes, and I've definitely had retaliation, you know, from people who are uncomfortable, and I get in a way that that's theirs, that's more about them than it is about me. And
Yeah, I got an early taste of that because my mother was the mayor of the town that I lived in, and it was not possible to walk down the street about half a block with her without getting stopped by somebody that either wanted to tell her she was doing a terrible job or a even worse job. Or, you know, and I think I learned at an early age that, you know, it's like that old Zen saying about no praise, no blame. You know, they're both the same. And they should both just be given equal weight. But I also have a friend that's in visually very recognizable that I often walk down the street with. And again, you know, like many times after walking down the street or, you know, being out to lunch with him, I come out thinking, thank God I'm not that famous. <You know? laughs> Just of the amount of stuff that people have to project onto him, you know. And same thing with Bonnie Raitt. I'm friends with Bonnie Raitt. And anytime we have lunch together in public, I can count on it taking about an hour and 45 minutes because, you know, so many people stop and tell her how wonderful she is about every three bites, and which would drive me crazy, I think, to have that experience all the time. So, maybe you could invite a kind of fame that's just in the right place at the right time to truly nurture you.
Oh, I like that. I really like that. I think, you know, 2 years ago, three different, really intuitive, really psychic people on three different occasions said to me, oh, in about 5 years, when you're starting to get famous, you know, and you know what I did? My business went, right? I'm going to read, I'm just going to go read some books, you know? Like, nope. Yeah. So I think this exercise definitely is something to explore more in regard to just breathing through it and being willing to be with it.
Yeah, well, once you open up the door to your creativity like that, you'll be surprised that more information will come up about that. And you know, there's nothing inside us that we need to be afraid of. So to open up to any old fears and things like that, if it was going to harm you, it would already have done so since it's been living in there for, you know, 30 years or something like that. Like the Course in Miracles says, nothing real needs to be feared. Nothing unreal exists. It's a saying that to me has always meant there's nothing really to be feared here because we're all the same, we're all one thing, and especially fear is not to be feared because by the time an average human being gets to be 6 years old, they've been exposed to 110 different kinds of fears. And so it's just part of the human experience to open up to our emotions at a certain stage and begin to use the energy that we've had from those old trapped emotions like fear or grief or anger to begin to use those to fuel your current evolution with.
And there's a beautiful exercise in the book about that, of taking shame, breathing through shame, and turning it into luck. And one of the things that you both indicated or referenced in our last conversation was that luck and love are very related. So I would love maybe Carol to expand a little bit upon that.
Well, before I do, I've been really wanting to jump in. I was really enjoying that interchange, but I had a real observation because I'm not a big leap expert, and I don't know him much. That was Gay's thing and his real, his genius zone. But I'm learning about it, and especially in relation to luck. When we wrote the book, we had our second secret is to release your personal barriers to luck, because you can commit to luck. But as soon as you step through that door that you opened, the things like you're talking about are going to come and possibly block your passage, the ways that you've thought of yourself as unlucky, all the different feeling cursed, all the things we put in the book. But one that we weren't aware of, and just because the book brought it to the fore, is people's upper limits problems with luck, that people have very specific problems feeling worthy of luck, feeling that they come from an unlucky family, you know, like that's just the way my family is, you know, I'm inherited bad luck, feeling that they would be disloyal to be lucky, you know, there's all kinds of, and it follows the big, the upper limit problem as Gay presented it in The Big Leap, but we've also added to that, and it was such a revelation because I feel guilty how lucky I am.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so guilty, especially during this pandemic. You know, I already work at home. I have a husband. I live in a beautiful place. And so I'm thinking, I'm so lucky. But instead of feeling happy about it, I felt like, oh, my gosh, you know, this isn't fair. It's not fair that I'm lucky. So I've been noticing my own personal barriers to luck. And I had a situation where I met a man who was he was homeless. He was sitting on the side of the road here in Ojai, and I was walking my dog, and I struck up a conversation with him. And anyway, long story short, I helped him, and I came back, and I brought him some apple and a blanket because he was going to spend the night outside. It was COVID time, so I couldn't bring him in my house. I couldn't even get in the car with him to drive him somewhere. And I brought a $20 bill, and I gave it to him. He goes, "Are you sure? Do you have a 10? And I was like,
"Oh,
what? Wow!"
And I have less.
But I just thought, he was so worried for me. He was like, "Are you sure that's not too much?" And I thought, "No, I have so much." And I walked home feeling this, just like I was floating with the amount of gratitude I had for how much I have. And from that place, you know, it was like generosity flowed from that rather than from guilt. Yes. And I had a vision of how when you overcome your upper limit about these things, that it's beneficial to everybody. And it doesn't have to create jealousy or anything like that or feeling disloyal. It felt like that it was all flowing through me, that my luck was also going out. It was just an amazing experience. So as we live with conscious luck and get feedback from people, we're just finding that it's so much deeper and it's so much more complex, and it feeds into, as Gay has discovered, this real problem with people feeling that they don't deserve for different reasons. They have fears about they have limiting beliefs. So anyway, your question about love and luck, I have to think about for a second. Gay wants to jump in. Because I was trying to hold that thought while you were talking.
Right.
Gay, do you have anything you want to say about the relationship between love and luck?
Yes, I think that they are very close to each other in the sense that real love comes from a place of open spaciousness. It's not trying to control. Phony love is an attempt to control another person in some way. And I've been in both those kind of relationships. And early in my life, I was in a lot of relationships that were real unconscious, you know, because neither one of us knew ourselves very well. I've been blessed for the last 40 years. By the way, Katie and I just had our 39th wedding anniversary a couple of days ago.
Wow. And, congratulations.
So I've been blessed for the last 40 years or so with a relationship where the love is so open and spacious in the sense that there's never any attempt to control anybody around here. You know, it's just I've been blessed to be with such an open-hearted person for the last 40 years that I really haven't had to occupy my mind or anything with defensiveness or anything like that that I used to do a lot in my early days. And another thing, too, is that the moment you make a commitment to being open and honest and transparent in your relationships, which we have done, so it's a place where I can say anything, where she can say anything. Each one of us listens to each other in a non-critical way. And so those kind of relationships encourage a kind of spaciousness in them.
Yeah.
Space in a relationship is a good thing. Distance in a relationship is not a good thing. And the variable there is fear. If you're afraid, there's distance in the relationship. If you're not, there's space in the relationship. And so it's important for each one of us to open up more of that kind of space. And it just so happens that it's the same kind of space that opens you up to luck, too.
Oh.
Because if you're free of your limiting beliefs and you say, okay, I'm willing to accept more love in my life, I'm willing to accept more luck in my life, you're occupying that same kind of space that I'm talking about. You're not clouded over and cramped in by your old limiting beliefs.
So there is a question from a listener about that. Oh, well, I guess we'll get to it when we come back, Stacy. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening to Sexy Mom Abundant Life. And thank you, Gay and Carol. So delighted to have this chat with you. Such a pleasure.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hey everyone. Thanks for listening to Sexy Mom Abundant Life. I'm so grateful you're here. As a listener, you can pop over to meetkathywilliams.com and get 20% off any item in the shop, including videos, energy pulls, even private sessions, by entering the code SMRadio. Also at meetkathywilliams.com, you can download a free Create Your Life exercise and join me for online classes and Hawaii retreats. And if you're stuck, helping you get unstuck is my specialty. I'd love to work with you one-on-one.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sexy Mom Abundant Life. This is Kathy Williams, and I'm having a chat with Jay Hendricks and Carol Klein today on making your luck more conscious, or actually like attracting more luck just by being more conscious, or all of the above. And I just wanted to say before we get back to the show, which has been so much fun with some really practical exercises and things you can do. You can always find me at meetkathywilliams.com. I love hearing your show ideas. It really helps make it relevant to you and also easier for me. I don't have to come up with a show idea if you do. And of course, any guests you're interested in hearing from, let me know. I'd love to know. So meetkathywilliams.com. You can also get a free money rain exercise there, which is super fun. So, wow, we just were a little bit cut off from Stacy's question. And she really is asking, and I think you've touched on it already, but how can you, thread luck into the area of relationships and have people learn to love more authentically or find an electric match? How you encourage people in that area?
One thing that I've always done, we've worked with about maybe 20,000 single people here and about 4,500 couples over the past 40 years. And one thing that we find ourselves doing a lot is helping people get out from under old pain that they've accumulated in other relationships. So One of the most difficult things for human beings to do is to shift out of the state of consciousness where all of that old pain occurred and shift into a new state of consciousness where you can manifest what you want now. And one way we do that is through a process of helping people look back at the past and say, that was then, and then come into the present and say, this is now. And after you do that a bunch of times, what happens is you begin to realize, okay, regardless of what has happened in the past, it's possible for me now to create something brand new. One of the great things about human beings is that we can transcend our old patterns and start something new. One of the most irritating, maddening things about human beings is that that's kind of hard to do a lot of times. And so you need some tools to do that. And that's one of the things, you know, like in Conscious Luck and The Big Leap, one of the things I'm most proud of in those books is that it has the tools right in there. In the case of Conscious Luck, they're right inside the cover, you know. So
perfect.
Even if you sneak up on the book at the bookstore and just peek inside, you can get a pretty good lift off there. But we encourage you to invest in the whole book.
That'll right?
make you even luckier. It's very bad luck to shoplift a book called Conscious Luck.
Well, and Carol's been madly working on the workbook as well, with all sorts of exercises and things like that, you know. And so I would love for you also to touch on that, because making it really practical is super important, because you can't just read the inside of a book and then say, okay, I got it, and move on.
Yeah, what a good segue.
Carol, she is an absolute genius writer, and so she kind of took on this baby of really translating all the material into the workbook, in the book into a workbook. And so, Carol, hats off to you for doing that. Thank you so much.
Well, I was gay, and I noticed, that people were, and we actually hooked up with an executive coach who was using Conscious Luck with her clients. Tamim Samuel is the third person that helped us with this book. And it was really a valuable insight. I'm more of a theoretician, you would say. I'm a writer. I love ideas and concepts. Gay is out in the trenches for 40 years working with people and workbook and stuff like that. And it was amazing, you know, confluence of talents that we got Gay's, you know, huge vision, my analytical mind, and Kameen's experience working with these exact principles, these exact concepts with her clients. So we ended up really looking at how these, you know, you can think about something, you can get inspired by something. And a lot of people are seminar junkies, or they used to be. They'd go to these seminars and get a high and go home and go right back to their lives and nothing would change. And you can have a distinction. You can understand something. But to actually apply it to your particular, like your particular little kink there was, gosh, I'm afraid of outshining people. I'm afraid of people, you know, being a target once I'm successful, right? So that type of person has a different pathway to conscious luck than a person who never wins, nothing ever goes my way. I'm a poster child for Murphy's Law, right? That's a very different kind of boundary. So we developed a fabulous workbook. I am so excited about it because I'm the most practical person you know. I mean, honestly, it's like, that's all great, but what is it going to do for me? What am I going to do in the world? What am I, how am I going to change? And I love that in this, you first explore your particular kinks, like we talked about, your particular bends and twists and unconscious commitments. What are you unconsciously committed to? You can say you're consciously committed to luck, but what is going on in the subterranean depths that is going to trip you up? You know, so we're going to uncover that. And Gaze absolutely, you know, I love some of the things that have come out of the conversations about conscious luck on a deeper level when we say, okay, that sounds good, but what about if a person has this problem? What about if this person? And Gaze's real contribution to my life in terms of these kind of things is awareness. Awareness is key. And becoming aware by journaling and doing exercises and answering questions that we pose. And then doing some of the absolute work that Gay was saying about this is then and that was now. I mean, that was then, this is now, that was them, this is me. And learning to do that with specific issues, it is so powerful. I think that, you know, once you read Conscious Luck, you're going to be just primed to apply it to your life because it's going to be, that's where the rubber is going to meet the road.
I love that. Yeah.
Do you think I'm excited about this a little bit?
Is she excited? You know, one of the things I've appreciated about both your, you know, both of your work is from learning to love yourself, the different exercises or love for no reason. There are practical exercises because I think those directives are so useful. And getting it real, getting it into your life and helping make an impact and it's tangible, you know, breathing through shame as an exercise in Conscious Luck. Like you have a tangible experience of, oh, something shifted. And that makes a big difference. So I'm excited to see the workbook and use it, right? Not just see it.
Well, you'll get a very first peek at it here pretty soon.
Woohoo! So when will that be released? Do you have an idea?
It's in the not too distant future. I don't have an exact date for you.
All right.
If you continue to let the hunger and desire build, it'll be worth it.
We're going to let you know, and it will be available on consciousluck.com and on Amazon.
Okay.
And we're excited. We're just in the layout stage right now. I mean, it's getting printed basically soon.
Beautiful. Okay. And there is a Lucky Tribe community on Facebook where people report their experiences after having read
Conscious
Luck. Yes. Yeah. So it's called Conscious Luck Community.
Yes.
Conscious Luck Global Community. We have people from all over the world.
Wonderful.
And we get lots of
and
people
also,
writing
sorry.
In their miracles that have happened. And it's really fun to see people connecting with this all over the world.
That is, yeah, wow. What an impact. So one of the questions I got had to do with, and overcoming adversity. So he, JB said, I'm always fascinated
by the stories of, you know, things you've had to overcome to get where you are today. And you can totally tell a different story, but one of the things that came to mind when I read that question is the fact that I believe it was your first book, Gay, was banned.
Yes. I wrote a book way back in 1975. I actually wrote it when my daughter was in kindergarten in the first grade, because I spent a lot of time, I was at Stanford at the time in the PhD program, and she was going to the little elementary school that was associated with Stanford in the preschool there. And so I spent a lot of time in her classroom just watching the kids and taking notes, because I was very interested in education. And so I developed a little book of things like relaxation activities and visualizations and some simple yoga postures and things like that. And it was called the Centering Book, and still widely available. And when it came out, it was a nice little modest hit in the education community, but it really got to be a big hit when some right-wing group, I can't remember just where, I think it was in Dallas, put it on a list of books that ought to be banned or burned. And right away it took off and sold 10 times more than it was selling every month. And so I put out a standing offer. I've written 46 books now, but burn any of them. I would appreciate it very much, you know, because every time it does, the book ends up on the bestseller list.
That's a great story of turning something that seems like it could be a real problem into something amazing.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think that it was something about the part of the book that had yoga postures that bothered them. That was, you know, like a different religion or something like that. And frankly, I've forgotten all the details. It happened to me one other time, a group in Indiana. I can't remember if they banned it or burned it. Another time with my book, Learning to Love Yourself, which came out in 1982 or something like that, got on the wrong side of some of the fundamentalist groups, because it was the idea of learning to love yourself rather than thinking of yourself as evil and sinful. And so
idea
kind of bugs people, I guess. And so but it really helped the book sales. So again, you know, please, I'll send you a free one if you'll agree to burn it.
Sounds like a great plan.
Well, I was going to just add that, you know, one of the things, there's somebody on in our Facebook community that's been talking about how, you know, things are not going well for her during the COVID pandemic. You know, she's struggling. And she's losing her commitment to luck, she said. And it made me think, you know, I know for myself that when I'm feeling down, that's the time when you start to close down. And what Gabe was saying, when you stop breathing, when you stop. And for me, overcoming fear and overcoming depression and overcoming that tendency to kind of shut down and not be open to the world around you is the epitome of creating bad luck. So it's that snowball going the wrong way. It's a snowball melting as it's going down the hill. So it's really important in my life, that there's been terrible things that happened in my life. And, you know, you can close up and decide, that's it. I'm going to play it safe. That's my commitment now, is to play it safe in my life. And if I had done that, I wouldn't be where I am now, because I had to take risks and I had to put myself out and maybe get rejected or get, you know, what's that word? Squashed. And in fact, that those things where you tend to want to close down. So, you know, when you're starting to feel like you can't commit to luck, that's the time you need to do it the most. You need to remember a lucky time. We have an emergency repair kit. I think we called it the luck repair kit. Gay named it that in the original manuscript, where you stop, especially like if you were losing at cards, you step away, remember, you know, because that's flop sweat and you're panicking and that's when you make bad decisions. You step back and remember a time you were lucky. Really find one and savor it and get back there. Take deep breaths, change the stress, the biochemistry of your through your breath, and
then go back and take action. Because when you are open to luck, even if you don't see it, you know, when you're open to luck, if you believe that what happens to you, it's not happening to you, but for you, that whole, you know, kind of cliche, but true, that's when your luck will turn. And it's the only way that your luck, conscious luck, can happen.
What a beautiful note to end on. Thank you both so much for being here. Where can listeners find you?
All over the place, but one place you can look is at consciousluck.com. That's a good place to start. And then if you want more on the Big Leap and things like that, you can go to hendricks.com, H-E-N-D-R-I-C-K-S.com.
And if you're curious about Carol Klein, carolklein.com, K-L-I-N-E.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for this chat and the gift that you are and the wisdom you spread in the world. So delighted to know you.